It's 6 p.m. We'll call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting on November 20th, 2016 to order. We'll start with roll call. Wheeler?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Kornowski is here. Retlef?
Here.
Rock?
Here.
Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Okay. Moving on to item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. Are there any changes? And if not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Item number three, minutes from October 25th, 2016. If anybody has any changes to those minutes, please let us know. If there's nothing, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, minutes are good.
Wheeler abstains.
Got it.
You don't need to abstain just because you're not here.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, no harm.
Hello.
Maybe they're not. We're recording.
Yeah, but I need to turn the
green button on.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Sure.
Did that work?
Okay, got it.
Okay.
In the essence of time, we'll move forward. Item number four, announcements. If there's any announcements from staff or anybody in the Plan Commission. Okay. Move on to item number five, public appearances. If you want to address the Plan Commission in the public forum, please step to the podium, state your name and address.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was a former co-chair of the Alloway Bike Ped Committee in charge of pedestrian issues. You're going to be evaluating, at least looking at the bike ped plan a little later on today. And the Public Works Department put in a sidewalk on St. Mary's Street and a couple other sidewalks that are not needed. The neighbors don't want them, whereas in they didn't put in sidewalks where there really is a big need. Big need is at the St. Joseph Street, getting across Riverside Drive to the business districts, the new restaurants, the new commercial building that's going to be going up over there. There's a lot going on there, and people need to get across the street in order to make that a vibrant area. It needs to be attractive. It needs to be safe. The Graves study put in a great crossing, a couple of good choices. The state DOT put in a horrible choice down the street closer to St. Francis Park. So I would like to see the Plan Commission encourage a safe crossing following the Graves study and not the DOT and the Public Works Department recommendations. As long as it's safe, I think that it's a better solution to follow the Graves recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. If there's no one else, we'll move on to item number six. Action regarding rezoning parcel number AL-1592, located at 1525 South Webster Avenue, legally described as Matt Rainin's Plat Lot 7-8-13 and 14XSFS 50 feet of lots 8 and 13 and XR, excluding I should say, Railroad, also east 9 foot of lot 11 from commercial to B residential. And Kevin, if you'd like to come up and maybe talk about some of the things that, and first of all, if you could just state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Kevin Service. I own the property at 1525 South Webster.
Maybe if there's any further developments from our discussion last time and from the minutes we were looking at the possibility of temporary zoning, if that was possible, other financing mechanisms. I believe you were going to possibly look into that.
I'm deadlocked. I have to. What they told me from several institutions, from a credit union to a bank, with some of the banking regulations and things, I'm stuck with having to take out a business loan by 8-9% interest, only locked in year to year, and have to do a commercial appraisal each time. So that it gives me undue hardship, which I didn't know when the property is acquired. And I think it might be something to consider that if these properties ever get into a situation in a residential setting like that, and they've been used that way, they might make a better presentation that way, having multiple in that corridor, because down the street what's going on is not a complimenting neighbor. And I'm sure that's what happened there, was probably someone bought it, flipped it, the one next to the monument place, and they're probably stuck with not being able to sell it, because unless someone takes out a business loan or has an exorbitant amount to pay cash, so they're stuck renting it. And, you know, putting up a plastic garage visible from the street. Well, I mean, that's what kind of things are going to happen. And I'm just talking objectively with me. If it comes down to the point someday, if I can't maintain my property equitably, you know, and keep it preserved the way it has been, it's not an eyesore to the community. Like I said, it's different if I were doing it the opposite direction, or if it's possible that I had a multiple use, but I don't even know if the bank would do that. They just said they can't write a loan against commercial property. So that's where I am. And my hardship is I got to repay the people that I did some of the home improvements with. So my note's coming due. So if I don't do it, I'll have to probably go the other route, which isn't the best option. And, you know, you guys had said that you were going to table it for further discussion. So I don't know if you had conversations about it since then or what. Now the other thing is, and I'll share with you my personal hardship, which is an inconvenience. I paid the fee to come here and present, which I wasn't guaranteed any result. However, now that I've been delayed again, and will be if it has to be decided further, the interest rates are going up, so it's already costing more besides. And with the current climate the way it is, I don't want to dick around. There's no other way to say it. I've worked hard for what I do and what I have, and I feel as a citizen, I have that right to try and pursue it to the utmost. So.
Well, my personal perspective is that whoever your real estate agent was sold you a bill of goods on the property. But they were the ones that is at fault. They should have informed you of what the limitations on the property is before you purchased it.
Okay. I would like to say, I hear what you're saying. You're entitled to your opinion, but I will share with you that in my opinion, I think that's a very short-sighted statement in lieu of how it was happened. I was in a situation of duress. A friend purchased that house from a realtor who is a client and a personal friend of mine, and he is also the person of high integrity that borrowed me the money personally to make the improvements. He did not in any way, I think, be short-sighted. The property was in foreclosure, sat there sitting there, getting dilapidated for 2 years, and he put together a package for us to expedite and purchase the property in cash, so I had a place to live after my bankruptcy. So, in all fairness, I don't know what opportunity he would have really had to make a presentation in terms of all that. But Bill Doyle with the real estate company I dealt with is a person of really high integrity, and I don't think he would have done it slighting me just for a commission. Seriously, because he only got half a commission, and he is a personal friend of mine. I can see your position.
Well, it just, I mean, it's, I, maybe it's an issue with, my wife is a real estate agent. I was an architect, you know, and so we know what the expectations are. I know that she would have made sure you understood that this was a commercial property and had limitations, you know, if you were going to do any work on the property.
Okay, but realtor could also turn that around the other way in being steadfast in it and say that the limitations are actually a benefit because I could use it and control it as a residence as it had been for 90 years, or I could turn around and use it commercially with that zoning. So to say that they would tell me that it would be a hindrance, I think that's not fair, because 99% of a realtor would sell it on its positive features to earn their commission, because they work to make a living like I do. And Bill is a person of high integrity. And we didn't buy the house opportunistically thinking we're going to turn it and flip it for a buck. So that's how I feel. I disagree on that. I think the issue here is, more importantly, the legality and the logistics of the pros and cons of allowing me to have a multiple zoning. I don't even know if the banks for sure would do that on a multiple. I can't say that honestly. They told me basically it has to be residential. So, and like I said, if you guys in your neighborhood, you invest in a home, no different than me, you invest in a home, you don't want a neighbor starting a business next to you. You have increased traffic, you don't have control of what goes on in there, you know, whatever. I'm ready enough in a business corridor, and I'm just asking for the right to be able to control my property and use it the way it's been for 90 years. So I see flexibility in that. I don't see it being, you know, favoritism.
You know, I know you probably pursued all of your avenues, as you said, but many years ago, my wife and I had a home that we had trouble selling. It was in the woods, and it had two earth walls and, you know, kind of funky place. And it was great, but it had an indoor racquetball court. That'll give you a hint. So we had trouble with financing, but we went to GMAC financing, and they were able to, the buyers were able to get the loan to purchase our home, you know. After the deal fell through, we moved out, and the next day, you know, the agent said, well, you know, the deal fell through, and so you guys still own the house. And they went to GMAC, and I don't know, it's just another...
I appreciate that.
I'm not sure how they're different, but I know...
No, I appreciate that very much, but I know that a lot of these companies also sell out those loan securities, and with the banking reforms that went into effect after, like, 2008, there's totally different underwriting procedures now.
And this was long before 2008.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But since then, that's where it's really gotten tight. I used to have the commercial buildings down in Webster, and there were a lot of flexibilities how you could use leverage and things to borrow for equity for home improvements and, you know, and use equity as far as another property acquisition. I'm not ignorant of that. I know how that works, but it doesn't work the same right now. It is not the same. So I'm sitting on potentially, it says $150,000 equity in terms of the market value, but I can't even take out a home equity loan because of that stupid thing. To me, it is petty.
When you bought the property, did you know that it was a non-conforming use?
No.
When did you buy it?
Probably 7 years ago.
Okay. Was there a real estate condition report?
Well, that never said non-conforming then. Meaning, you mean non-conforming in terms of the lot size?
The zoning. Did you know that it was zoned commercial?
They said it was zoned business, but I didn't know it was a hindrance the negative way. Well, you know, you would think, okay.
I agree.
99% of the people would say, okay, this makes it even more attractive. And it was a cash sale. So it didn't, you know, when Homer bought it for me, he walked in and made the offer and wrote a check on the spot. So there wasn't all this, you know, difficulty with knowing the circumstances. It wasn't really a big issue. And I personally don't feel it was a negligence. I appreciate your opinion on that, but I don't agree on that at all.
I really sympathize with the spot you're in, but it also puts, you know, the Plan Commission trying to do the right thing here in a spot. I appreciate the amount of the money that you're putting into it and you know, what you're doing to keep up your property. I'd just like the Plan Commission and maybe our staff to think about this a little bit, and that is, we've talked on several occasions about non-conforming properties or properties that have a conditional use, and I think when we discuss those, we were thinking, why aren't we zoning them to what they're being used for? So if that's the case, and I know I'll use the example of the property that the Quick Trip is on. That was a non-conforming or
a conditional
use. We were going to zone it to make it conforming. So why in this instance, if we were looking at all the non-conforming property, how are we going to zone them? Are we going to zone them to what they're being used for? Or what we think they should be? I mean, or what they... Or kick out the conditional use people and make them conforming. I would think we would do it the opposite. So if we would do it the opposite, why can't we do it for this man? If we would rezone to what they're being used for, wouldn't that be the way we would do it?
May I ask one suggestion? And it's just being open-minded, and yes, it's a little selfish on my part, but it does talk of a vision for what Alloway stands for. Supposedly it's a residential community. You've been very selective what you put on Webster and the requirements and the ways that I have to build attractively. The banks, you know, the drugstore, all those things. I get that. But in that little corridor, you have, you know, the gas station, and then you have the Monument House and the other one. They're kind of landlocked. Even if someone buys all those parcels, I don't know what would go there, what would fit there. You also have, then on my side, you know, the three houses, mine and Charlie's, the two of them. The both parcels aren't very big. And, you know, a lot of people are putting a lot of work on Webster to make it look good. So, with those two parcels only being there primarily residential in appearance anyway for the most part, I don't know, that one house on the other side of the thing is an eyesore. And it's just getting worse, but it's not my problem, so.
I would like to hear what some of the other commissioners think about what, and just as a bigger thought process than just this gentleman's home, if we are to find all the conditioning, the properties that aren't being used, what they're zoned for. Mm-hmm. What would we do about it?
Non-conforming conditions.
Right. What would we do about it? Would we be changing them? Would we be kicking out the people in those and making them use them as they should be? Or would we be rezoning them to what they're being used for?
Well, the issue, I mean, I think what we would like is something different than what we've got written into our ordinances. And that's the big issue. That's the only issue here, is that our ordinance defines all of this in a particular way. If we had things like downtown district, you know, zoning mm-hmm. categories like downtown district, mixed use, you know, other types of form-based possibilities for zoning classifications, then we would have more flexibility in this situation. But basically, what we're stuck doing is following the ordinance the way it's written. And so we're trying to kind of thread the needle based on what we're working with. And the ordinance in this particular instance, well, no, I'm wrong in that, because right now our comprehensive plan, you know, recognizes this area, the two strips of land on each side of Webster as commercial districts. So, even though there are non-conforming uses there, so
I think our goal as a plan commission isn't so much to make sure the zoning and the use are matching. However, that happens. I think our goal is to identify what we want to see, what's our ultimate best use
for
of
vision.
The property for vision, and then as these things come up or opportunities to make that vision happen, we do them. But I think ultimately we need to identify what do we want here and make sure the zoning matches that. And what we have to lean on is our comprehensive plan and our ordinances to make that happen.
And I'm still curious, too, I mean, what a lawyer would say, or, you know, some from a legal sense about the precedent, about it being zoned in the original Green Bay and Brown County as being residential before Alloway became a village. And I know there's some discussion that one supersedes the other, but I'd like to know, too, a legal statistic about the grandfather clause.
Yeah, that wouldn't exist. The village of Alloway got zoning powers. So, they're all really good arguments. And I keep going back to, you're putting money into that property. If not for Kevin's investment, would there be investment in the property? Would there be a commercial use that would want to go into that property as one parcel? Probably not. But there might be a commercial use if the parcels were aggregated in some way at some point when there was collusion amongst the landowners to sell it as one. And I don't know that it's going to hamper us from returning it to commercial use if it does go back to residential.
I guess if someone wanted it that bad, hell yeah, I'd put it back to commercial. I'd sell it.
The other side of it, though, that's
only
disturbing,
something decent, though,
is that we're talking about a personal finance decision that's influencing a zoning decision.
That's true.
And you can't deny the fact that when a title transferred at some point, there was something in that title regarding it being a commercially zoned property. Mm-hmm. Regardless of real estate conditions and everything else, there's a legal document that says this is commercial. And so that's what I'm struggling with. And I completely understand the position you're in, but if we took personal financial decisions into zoning decisions, we wouldn't be honoring the integrity of what
we're doing. Is that the only thing that's being questioned? Is because of why or
that's the impetus. If you wouldn't have done that, you wouldn't be here. If you wouldn't have taken out or done work on the house and sought a loan, found out you couldn't get a loan, but if you wouldn't have done any work, eventually somebody would have came to us probably. If they had been using his house, done repairs and financed those repairs, they'd come back and find out they can't finance them.
Right. If this were a building code issue, and you were appealing a building code issue, and you were using the expense of having to do the work and the fact that you couldn't get financing for doing the work, you would not be granted the variance, and that's in state law.
Mm-hmm.
So, because cost can never be an issue for complying with the code.
It's almost impossible to quantify what the harm would be if we made a decision in Kevin's favor, because the harm is precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what would come back to us if we were to make a decision like
this.
Well,
we are essentially passing the buck to the Board of Appeals,
right,
because they're going to have to permit whatever work is done there as a variance to the building code.
I can see a reason for changing it to your favor. If you have a nice home there, and it looks nice on the street, and you talked about a scenario down the road where if you didn't get financing, maybe you'd have to walk away from it, or maybe some things wouldn't get done, and it wouldn't look so nice, potentially, if you can't get financing to do work that you want to on it.
Well, I would probably end up for my retirement someday, move out and rent it and use the revenue of the asset to supplement my retirement,
mm-hmm.
which I probably have to do. But I don't really want to have a rental property that I'm not living on the premise and controlling either.
Yeah. I think we run the risk of kind of downgrading the look of that neighborhood by making it harder than it is for you to get an equity loan. So I'm kind of in favor of changing it for that reason. We can't go back and try and reconstruct how you came to learn this or that or didn't come to learn this or that about its status when you bought it. You know, what you're here for is the fact that you're between a rock and a hard place and you want to take some money out to do work.
Well, irrelevant to this whole thing, I mean, I'll state my personal opinion about another issue right down the street, in as much as I see it was kind of, in my opinion, kind of short-sighted squishing that Quick Trip on that small lot, because being down the street, it would have had a bigger tax bring to the village, and it also would have brought us more conveniences to the residents. I don't even go there anymore. I was offended because I go in there, and what do they have? A huge tobacco department and a liquor store. And for me, I mean, if it's family-oriented or residential, why is that a benefit to the neighborhood as opposed to people being able to patronize convenience items? And it would have contributed a bigger tax base going on the other property. But I didn't make those decisions. I'm just sharing what it's like to live on that street there. So I'll go to the other ones before I'll go there. And it's hard to get in and out of there. So to squish something in a small space, what's the advantage? I don't find that the best.
Yeah, I think that was a new model for Quick and Trip. It was a smaller product that they
had to
put anywhere
else.
So, yeah.
I'm not raving about being
a
resident.
Been at it, so
I'm just saying for me, I don't want to support it. So
I guess my personal feeling is that we're here to zone the properties the way that we want to see the community zoned, and as a reference, we have the comprehensive plan and what has been generated through much time and effort as the ultimate use for parcels in the city. So although I do respect and I guess acknowledge the hardship that it is for the loan, I don't think that our zoning decision can be based on a financing hardship. I think it ultimately needs to be based on what we as a group and the documents that inform us as a group have determined the highest and best use of these properties in the village should be. So, and it's nothing, I mean, if I'd love to help you out, but I just think that my duty here on the Planning Commission is to uphold those documents and to as the voice of the community, because we had lots of meetings to identify what types of uses should be going on in which places around the village, and if this area has been identified as a commercial area in our comprehensive plan, I don't see how we can deviate from that on the basis of financial hardship. So that's just my personal. So,
what is the if it's denied this evening? Is there an appeal? And does that appeal? What is the administrative rule? I'm sorry, I didn't read it. Is it to go to the village board next?
If it's denied tonight, it will still go to the village board.
It would still go to the village board. Okay. That's. I'm just thinking this really, I mean, we can make a decision on it, but it really smells like a policy decision, because what we're here to do is administer the zoning code. And if there's going to be exceptions to that, I think it's policy. I don't think it's this administrative body. So. That's where I'm at with it. Yes or no, whatever we say here, I think it's...
I would tend to agree with that, too. I mean, I struggle because I do see it as a personal hardship and don't like the idea that the decision we make here will affect you personally. But I think we just have to rely on what we have, and it's our comprehensive plan, our zoning code. Maybe we talked about the zoning code rewrite. Maybe there's opportunities in the future, too. Make some changes that could better accommodate something more flexible, but with what we have now, I don't feel like we can set the precedent of making this decision based on personal hardship.
In spite of what I said before, I tend to agree. The village board is the organization in the village that can make policy decisions and can make exceptions.
Well, this is the board, right?
No, the Planning Commission. No. So we're unelected.
Well, this is the Planning Commission.
Right.
I thought it was the board meeting.
No, the village board.
What?
We make recommendations.
We make
right.
recommendations.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was the opposite, and then it went to the Planning Commission. Here and there, it doesn't matter. Right. But
they're the one that make the big bucks, right? We just do it because we like it.
Yeah.
But we do, our mission, if you will, or our mandate as members of this commission is to uphold the and follow and understand and promulgate the ordinances. And one of those, some of those are incorporated, in, you know, our comprehensive plan is incorporated into those. So we've all voiced our personal opinions, but then we also have an obligation to do, and the obligation to do anything beyond that would lie with the village board, and that's what they're for. So.
Okay. I don't know if we've discussed enough or if there's anything else that needs to be discussed around this issue, if anybody's got any comments.
Well, we haven't
comments.
Heard if there's a staff recommendation yet.
Staying out of this one? Or?
He's been quiet.
I can certainly see the arguments for both sides. The comprehensive plan is vague. It does not call out specifically this parcel. However, you are right when you said that it wouldn't inhibit you from changing back to commercial if you rezone it residential. But there are personal things here that, you know, it makes it a difficult decision, and I would agree with you guys that it probably should be decided by the village board. Being that the comprehensive plan is vague, the staff recommendation, I would err on the side of caution, I guess, as far as what your gut tells you is what the comprehensive plan is the same for this area. For the overall area, it does call for commercial, so I guess that's a period of interpretation. That's not much of a recommendation.
Yeah, I think we all kind of understand what you're getting at.
Okay. That being said, does anyone have a motion? And we can make a motion to approve, and even if you're not in favor, you can make a motion to approve and then vote nay. We just need a motion to keep things moving.
So, is there an actionable resolution?
There was a note about a condition. Condition it that the Board of Appeals grant the variance for the lot width.
Right.
So,
if we recommend approval.
If we recommend approval.
It needs to be conditional on the Board of Agenda, the Board of Appeals granting the variance for the lot frontage.
Right. So whomever makes a motion to approve, please include the condition on a variance from the Board of Appeals on the lot width.
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and take it. I move to approve the rezoning of the discussed parcel with the condition that it should receive a variance for lot frontage from the Board of Appeals.
Is there a second? Again, you can second just so we can vote.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion for approval and a second. All those in favor of approving signify by saying aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Motion is not carried. Or the recommendation, I believe, Trevor, the recommendation of the village board is to not approve from the plan commission. However, maybe we should make a motion on what we actually recommend to the village board, that this is a policy decision and we acted on behalf of the zoning code and how we interpret it.
I think, we have to recapture what was said so the board understands the conversation.
Not that we're necessarily recommending denial.
Right. The motion didn't carry to approve at this body level because of what we talked about, that we're sticking to the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan as it's literally written and interpreted by this board, and then saying it's a policy decision for our elected officials.
So that's it.
The board meeting will be December 6th, so next Tuesday. Oh, it's got to be the 15. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I would encourage you to go, Kevin. Just because it was denied here doesn't mean they're not.
You know, I'm going to walk them into a cluster. They're not going to be prone to want to when you guys aren't even open to the idea. And I know you have to follow the rules.
Okay. Well, you should at least talk to some of the trustees.
Right.
And appear at the meeting.
So what time?
Defend yourself at the meeting.
Tuesday. No, the following Tuesday. Wait.
It would have to be the 20th, because there has to be a 15-day notice.
So they're just telling them to show up and talk about it, right?
Either
well,
way, I would.
Whenever it comes before the board, he should defend himself at the meeting, you know, defend his position at the meeting. So.
I'll call you tomorrow. Okay. Figure it out.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, item number 7, discussion of bicycle and pedestrian plan. Trevor, I imagine maybe you have something to throw up on the computer, or is Roger going to?
I was just going to announce that the committee is reviewing the text. We received it about a week ago, and we meet this Thursday to review any changes to that text, but it's close to being in final form. There are some edits that have to be made, but and some pictures and graphs to be adjusted. And that we will have a public meeting, I am thinking in January, only because historically public participation this time of year is minimal. So
make it an ugly sweater contest.
Yeah.
So, in reference to what was said earlier, it has gone before the Plan Commission. You guys have seen a few of the recommendations already. A few of the recommendations have gone before Public Works, but nothing has been decided or cast in stone. There's still the public participation component of it that we want to see. And we want to also keep in mind of private property rights, especially when, you know, access to the Fox River Trail was identified in the public survey we did time and time again. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big concern of the village, and the village board has shown interest in trying to grant access to the Fox River Trail by doing a hot crossing on the southern end of the village and looking into a crossing on the northern end of the village. So I guess it's like comprehensive plan, you know, just because it's shown on that doesn't necessarily mean it's you know, cast in stone and it's going to be there forever kind of thing. It's what works best now, it doesn't necessarily.
Well, we hope that it ties to some capital funding. You know, going forward, that's grant money or streets, you know, complete streets type stuff. But so the St. Mary's sidewalk comment earlier, I guess I went to Public Works Committee. I can only assume it's part of a street construction project. Otherwise, they wouldn't just put a sidewalk in that place.
Right.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
So well, maybe not as popular. Okay.
Well, the purpose of the plan, again, is to provide criteria for Public Works as they redevelop our transportation and recreation network. So.
Yeah, it makes complete sense if it's part of a street plan to have that sidewalk there.
I think it's important to reiterate that the ad hoc committee reports to the board. So they want the opinion of the Plan Commission, they want the opinion of the Parks and Rec Committee, they want the opinion of the Public Works Committee. But ultimately, they're going to do what they think is best, and they're going to forward that to the village board with also the public comment as well. And, you know, it's up to the village board then to decide what works best with the comprehensive plan, the street reconstruction plan, and the parking rec plan.
That's good. Cut out the bureaucracy. That's fine. As long as it moves quickly and things get done, that's great. Any other comments on the plan? Okay, we can move on to that. Item number 8, update on village-owned properties for sale. And 3241 and 3245 Riverside Drive, 535 Green Avenue, 1649 and 1677 South Webster Avenue. Just wanted, is there an update? For sale.
Right, we're just going to show you.
The appraisals have been completed on both of those properties.
Okay.
The Green Avenue pump house, the appraisal came in at 38.5, and that's what the price the village board is listing it as at for sale. And the 3241 and 3245 was 385, and that's what they've got them listed at this point. So Trevor's going to show, we did put it onto the website. So,
other business, village-owned properties.
I guess maybe more importantly, how are you getting the word out? Has the board hired?
Challenge.
Yeah, has the board hired a realtor or a professional?
No, these properties right now are listed by the village.
Are they on the MLS or are they?
We haven't gotten that far with the.
Okay. So this is recent. That they got the appraisal back. Oh, okay. Oh,
but as long as they're published in this fashion, the commercial real estate community is going to be aware of them. So.
I hope so.
That's it.
That's. But isn't there a picture of the 38.5?
Yeah. Pump house.
Are there offers?
I was just hoping that there was photographs of it.
Are there offers on some of these properties?
Expired offers.
Are they all zoned appropriately?
The one on Riverside Drive is zoned commercial. And then.
This is village owned.
The pump house there will be.
Village owned.
Right.
So.
Are they zoned properly so they're going to fit into our comprehensive plan down the road?
It's like Jim maybe has a comment.
Move to open the floor.
I'll second.
All right.
You can vote.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, Jim.
Two more work, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. In fact, there are two. Offers that were put on. One was at full price, and one was at $2,000 less than full price on the pump house. It's natural that there's an expiration on all offers, and both those sellers are waiting for counter offers, but the village has refused to give them a counter offer. Thanks.
Move to return to orders.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We're back.
It's just for the record, those offers came in, the village board set the asking price for both of these properties. The second meeting in November, and those offers came in before, so.
Okay, so they kind of came in before the board really dealt with how much they wanted for the
property. It was before the appraisal, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the appraisal was requested, and we wanted the appraisal done. And now all of those offers were before the appraisals.
Okay. Any comments around the village-owned properties?
Not on these specific, but Mr. O'Rourke made a comment earlier that leads me to think there's some sort of development plan between on Riverside between Alloway and St. Joseph's. Is that the case? If there's something going?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. All right, just wondering, just trying to clarify what I...
Unless, the current development that's taking place, or the current
construction at Chapel Hill.
So, I guess the only thing, you know, there have been a couple of questions related to, you know, are these properties zoned for the most productive use in the community? And I think that would just be something we want to make sure of. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 9, update on zoning code process.
We're still actually hanging back. Our board's going to have their budget hearing tomorrow night, so we'll know more after that what's funded. However, it appears
$3,500 to $3,900.
Somewhere between $3,500 to $3,900 is tentatively available for this year, so that we can at least start the process and, you know, show that in good faith that this is something that we want to carry forward to next year as well, or 2018 as well. So I guess
is there going to be any testimony with respect to this item at the budget hearing, or I don't know how that works, but in the past,
what was the question?
Well, I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking we've had this discussion about issues of non-conforming uses on parcels that are zoned in a particular way. You know, I think we need, somehow the case needs to be made to Village Board, you know, unless they are fully understanding of it, that, you know, reassessing, going through a rework of our zoning code would help us resolve some of these issues and have a more stable.
I think you're well aware of that. Okay. In fact, during the budget discussions, that was brought up, and Trustee Dirk indicated that it was a discussion many times over the years.
Yes, it has been.
That funding okay. should be allocated.
Right.
And this is just to help us get the foundation started. Okay.
Thank you.
Along those lines, I guess related, kind of unrelated, but the sign code changes we were planning on making, and you had mentioned that there needed to be a sign survey done in order to move forward with any sign code ordinance change, ordinance amendment. Is that dead, or?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's been adopted.
Okay, so now there are So now there are variances. People can bring variances to the site.
Right.
There's a win.
I'm sorry, I should report on that.
There's a few people on the board not really excited about the idea.
Yeah. There we go.
But yeah.
Okay, cool. Glad I asked. Sorry for being ignorant.
Sorry about that.
It'll be interesting to see how much we can do with $3,900. We'll probably get her done, right?
Well, there's discussion on different ways and more education needed before we really
dive in,
and that we should take this time to do that. With, you know, just some minimal dollars put there, but I guess decide what direction we want to go.
Has there been historically a line item in the budget for this?
No.
Is this the first time that there's been a line item in the budget for a zoning?
I could be
ordinance?
Wrong, but I think that's the first time.
I don't believe it has ever had a.
Because that's a good step forward then. I mean, if this is the first time there's been a line item for it.
Yeah, it's been discussed for at least 6 years.
Good progress. Any other updates or discussion on the zoning code process? Okay, moving on to item number 10, next meeting date and agenda items. So what is the exact date in December? Because won't that come close to...
It was the 22nd, wasn't it?
26th.
Oh, the 26th, yeah, the day after 26th
Christmas. Is that
one. Falls close that day, so I will not be here yet, but I guess you guys can...
Do you want to move it back, move it up, or...
Guys? Will there be agenda items?
We might have a development project... I haven't received anything, so I can't say for sure.
Would it be better for that project to be on the
would it be the 20, the 19th versus,
I would
assume, right?
Could we tentatively schedule it or schedule it if we need it? Like keep that door open? If there's nothing on the agenda.
Yeah, then we don't need it. Is everybody okay
We're
with
busy.
The 19th?
Yep.
I mean, it's
kind busy time.
Time of year is tough, but it, so the 19th?
Okay.
That works.
Works for me.
Okay.
It's probably just for agenda items. It's probably time for us to start thinking about our annual report.
Yeah.
Do we need to update our official map?
Well, it's been updated, but I would like a more legible map, or one that's easier to.
Maybe just a discussion on that if we're going to be here and we have the time. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of lay out what the program would be. Since, I mean, the whole idea of this official map is to comply with state laws, I understand, correct? So.
At the last planning commission, you did ask about how many other properties are non-conforming. Mm-hmm. And Trevor does have that report that was done between Atlanta's. Mm-hmm. The intern and Trevor worked on that, so we can go over that too.
Yeah, or at least like a summary. I mean,
correct.
Okay. Okay, and just so that I'm not the one that gets the email saying, should we have a meeting if there's no development proposal, but we want to talk about annual report, update official zoning map, and summary of non-conforming. If
those can all be delayed.
Those can all be delayed? Okay. Okay, so unless there's a development proposal from what we'd spoken of, or some normal order of business, whether it be a rezone or whatever else, we'll be able to cancel. Okay, moving on to item number 11, adjournment. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned.
You can just press the critical. No, not that one.
Oh.
I mean, describing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a hawk?